Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow, none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together. From sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/vox. That's odoo.com/vox.
Megan Rapinoe here. This week on Why Are You Like This, I am talking with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Pablo Torre about his New York City upbringing, striking fear into the hearts of sports teams, and blazing his own trail in sports media. Pablo also flips the script on me and gets me to answer a very spicy question. Check out the latest episode of Why Are You Like This wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
Nate, I want to play you three quick clips, and I want you to tell me something. Are these country songs?
Ooh, a vexing question.
Song one.
Islands in the stream, that is what we are. No one in between, how can we be?
Song two.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving, they just
use. And song three is a bit of a twist.
I'll be standing in the lights, setting shows out every night.
Obviously, these three songs are by Dolly Parton. After Jolene, Island in the Stream, and 9 to 5 are Dolly's most streamed songs, the last song, Rockstar, is off of her 2023 album called Rockstar. Sadly, we just lost Dolly moments before taping the show. Yeah. You know, she was a huge trailblazer. She was the one thing that we could all agree on. She grew up in rural poverty, but went on to write over 3,000 songs in her life, becoming a star on the screen, an entrepreneur, and I think a visionary with a really expansive vision of what is country music and what country can be. Are these songs country?
Such a simple question, and yet I'm sweating bullets trying to come up with an answer here. I'm going to say yes, they are country.
Well, in the spirit of Dolly, today we're going to be looking at the current boom in country music and the boundaries that it's exploring. Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
Okay, so in August of 2026, country music for the first time ever took the top 5 Hot 100 slots.
Wow.
Yeah, right? So what I want to do is listen to these 5 songs and see what they tell us about country music. And I want to ask that same question. Are these country songs?
I feel like the question of what is and what is not country is endlessly fascinating.
Yeah.
Sometimes combative. And yet it's pretty important in a way, not so much for ultimately deciding is this thing country or not, but what those conversations say about what we value in music and how we define genre itself.
You know, so often country music is thought of as being in a particular geography, maybe from the South. It's thought of as being traditional, maybe Lorisy conservative.
Mm.
But country music is also one of our foundational American popular genres.
Yeah.
It does maybe move a little more slowly. It's interested in the present, but also the past. And, you know, it cares a lot about working class people. It cares about multi-generational storylines that, you know, you can be of many different ages and be a country star. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to the top 5 songs in the order that I have chosen, most country to least country, beginning with one of the most important songs possibly ever now, Ella Langley's Choosin' Texas.
She's from Texas, I can tell by the way he's two-stepping around the room. And judging by the smile that's written on his face, there's nothing. Choosing Texas, I can tell.
So Choosin' Texas is a song that hasn't just grown on me, it's grown on the entire country.
Yeah.
As of this recording, Choosin' Texas is tied with two other songs for the longest running number one song in the country.
Wow.
And when I say in the country, I don't mean country music. I'm saying in the entire country.
Yeah.
On the Hot 100, tied with Old Town Road, Lil Nas X. And another country crossover, Shaboozey's A Bar Song, Tipsy.
The fact that every song to set these record-breaking runs at number one is A, come out in the last 6 years, and B, if not full country, country adjacent in some way, is kind of a wild statistic.
And to be clear, there is someone who is reigning supreme at number one. That is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. But not counting holiday songs, these three are tied. Actually, by the time that this episode comes out, it's entirely possible that Ella Langley is going to break that record and be the longest running number one for a non-holiday song.
I'm not totally surprised, given that Billboard has changed the way it calculates the success of songs, that we're seeing kind of more songs in general stay at number one. I'm kind of surprised that this song might be the record breaker, though. Choosin' Texas. Not because it's not a great song, just because it's kind of chill. It's a little lugubrious. I'm like, why is this song resonating with people so much? I have to know.
I honestly think this is a really great track that can appeal to a lot of folks. It uses Texas as a stand-in for another country woman.
Yeah.
There's a real tension in this song set up between Tennessee and Texas, which is real in country music as well. You know, Nashville is the hub of recording. Texas is where real ranching cowboys reside.
Mm.
And so in Choosin' Texas, we have this entourage of Tennessean and Texan symbology. On the Tennessee side, we have Memphis Blues we used to sing. Ella Langley also is drinking Jack all by herself. Jack Daniels is made in
Tennessee.
Yes. And then there's all of these great references to other country songs. Langley sings, "Well, I guess he forgot about the Smoky Mountain Rain."
Well, I guess he forgot.
The Smoky Mountains aren't just in Appalachia, in Tennessee, but also Smoky Mountain Rain was a number one single from 1980 by Ronnie Millsap.
Smoky Mountain Rain, Smoky keeps Mountain on calling. I keep on calling her name.
So on the side of Tennessee, we've got its whiskey, we've got its cities, we've got its mountains, and we've got its songs. Texas also has its iconography in the song. We have two-steppin', of course, a style of dance done in Texas. We have another country song reference, Eastbound and Down by Jerry Reed.
Well, I'm eastbound and down and I can't help but cry, 'cause I-40 gets lonelier with every mile.
And a throw to I-40, the road that you can take from Tennessee to Texas.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
But my favorite Texas reference in Choosin' Texas is her nod to the song Amarillo by Morning.
He always loved Amarillo by morning. I should have taken that as a warning.
Amarillo by Morning, a 1973 song by Terry Stafford, but made famous by George Strait.
Amarillo by morning. Up from San Antonio, everything that I got is just what I've got on.
I actually think that as great as this lyrical reference is, there may be a subtle nod to another George Strait song going on here from 1987, the song All My Exes Live in Texas.
But all my exes live in Texas. Why hang my head in
I see what's going on here.
What's going on?
It's a little reversal of the choose in Texas dynamic.
Exactly.
George Strait has to hang out in Tennessee because all his exes have chosen Texas.
And Ella Langley is feeling sad because her beau has chosen Texas over Tennessee.
So this is a long-standing rivalry between these two states. Interesting.
Yeah, and I love it. She has turned it kind of into the other woman kind of song.
Hearing all these references and choosing Texas to folks like George Strait and Ronnie Milsap reminds me that Miranda Lambert is one of the co-writers on this song. And that's something she loves to do in her work, as well as like shout out folks like Loretta Lynn and Willie Nelson in the course of her lyrics.
So there are so many different nods to historical country songs going on in Ella Langley's Choosing Texas. But there's one moment in particular that really stands out to me as exceptional songwriting that isn't so much a reference to another song, but rather a clue to where the song is going to end up that plays at the very beginning. You and I just recently did a series about song form in which I had sort of derided the intro thick-headedly as, you know, something we should move right past as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Not in the case of Ella Langley's Choosing Texas.
Whoa, are you saying there's some secret message in this beautiful intro of these chorus of guitars playing together?
Yep.
Please enlighten me.
So what you're hearing are the guitars of Tom Bukovac, also known as Uncle Larry, one of the great session guitar players in Nashville. And he has a great YouTube channel, 501 Chorus Echo, a nod to a famous effect device. And he recently posted a video of the isolated sounds of this recording, talking about how he got this iconic riff. Now, typically, if you're going to play electric guitar in a country song, what guitar and sound are you anticipating to hear?
Like pedal steel, perhaps?
Definitely pedal steel. If you're going to play electric guitar, though.
Like Telecaster, I guess?
Telecaster.
Yeah.
Telecaster has got that twang. You know, the Telecaster is that really bright guitar sound, and it has this long-running history with country music. Going back to its debut in the early 50s, the guitar player Jimmy Bryant was a famous country sort of western swing player who was seen on TV alongside Speedy West. That is a Fender Telecaster. It is seen on TV in the early 50s. Other people start picking it up. James Burton, who played famously with Elvis. Luther Perkins, who played with Johnny Cash and is really known for making that boom, chuck-a-boom sound. Waylon Jennings played a Telecaster. Brad Paisley plays a Paisley-painted Telecaster on his track Cluster Pluck. Telecaster has the twang, the bite, the snap. It imitates some of those pedal steel kind of sounds as well. But when we're hearing Ella Langley, we're not hearing the sounds of the Telecaster.
Da, da, da.
Nate, I hate to break it to you. That is a Stratocaster.
Ah! Insanity. People running, screaming, tearing down the walls. What? A Stratocaster?
The Stratocaster, of course, is the guitar that Fender releases after the Telecaster. It has the sort of famous two little horns coming off of it. The Stratocaster is often associated with Texas and Texas Roadhouse Blues. It has a more nasal quality, a little brighter. And people might have first seen a Stratocaster in the hands of Buddy Holly, the famous pop singer from Lubbock, Texas, played a Stratocaster. The Vaughn brothers, Jimmy and Stevie Ray Vaughan, both played Stratocasters. So that's Stevie Ray Vaughan's Texas Flood. I'm telling you, Stratocaster, Texas. Now, why is our friend Steve Bukovac picking up the Stratocaster at the beginning of the song, Choose in Texas?
It's like the siren song of Texas that is beckoning
exactly
the guy in this narrative to come back to the Lone Star State.
This is a song that knows its references all the way down to what guitar to play. Bukovac, in his video about making the record, said that when Ella Langley came into the studio, she had a whole playlist.
She had a playlist of all of these like great old like 80s, 70s, 90s country records
for, right,
you know, reference for tones for everyone.
Right.
Vibes, you know.
And I think I might have identified one of the essential references that is hiding in the background. It's Conway Twitty's song Slow Hand. So not only does it share a very similar Strat-style opening riff,
yep,
it even uses the same harmonic progression, moving from that two minor chord back home to the one chord.
Come on, baby.
Okay, but even cooler, Twitty's song, Slow Hand, it was a number one hot country song from 1982, was in fact a cover of a non-country song, the 1981 song Slow Hand by the Pointer Sisters.
Huh.
Originally went to number 7 on the hot R&B/hip-hop song chart. So, Nate, are we hearing country music?
Oh, Charlie, I don't know. You've scrambled my brain at this point. What is genre, Charlie? I feel like this conversation is reminding me that there are definitely musical cues that point to genre sounds, you know, a Stratocaster, a Telecaster, a twang in the voice, a certain rhythm or feel. But then there's also like lyrical cues for genre. There's even, you know, the way an artist dresses or presents themselves that might signal a genre.
Yeah.
Genres can't be so easily contained by saying like, oh, it's, you know, this sound. It's this whole like matrix of complex associations that we have with a single style.
Well, I think Ella Langley really lets loose on this idea of genre on another one of her songs that has been in the top 5. It is her song, I Can't Love You Anymore. Mm. It's a duet with Morgan Wallen. This one's a bit more of a slow burn, a feud between two ex-lovers. Can they manage this thing anymore? We've got all kinds of metaphors of things burning down. There are cigarettes. There are pictures that are burnt up. There are burnt lips left behind. Is this country music?
Oh, man. This one feels like more of a stretch. Like, the vibe is very soft rock to me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And yet, we have that familiar twang in both of, yep, their voices. We have these like kind of country-esque harmonies and kind of a lyrical narrative structure that has the sort of sense of loss and nostalgia that so many country songs have. So yeah, why not? I think it's country.
Why not? Yeah. Importantly, if you're going to write a country song, there's all kinds of cliches you can write about. You got blue jeans, you've got whiskey, and of course, you've got trucks. Now, we don't quite have a truck in this song, but we have a nod to a truck.
Ooh.
Here's Morgan Wallen's verse.
Just when I think you let me let you go, there's a picture of us covered in dust on the dash. So you lit it up just to see the smoke. Roll me plus you.
Dusty photo on the dash. So yeah, it's not calling out, you know, a Ford F-150 as some other of Morgan's peers might, but you know, it's implied indeed.
Have you ever wondered who invented rock and roll, or why Fleetwood Mac fell apart, or what it was like at Motown in the early years? Well, do I have a podcast for you. My name is Will Anderson. I'm a songwriter, a musician, and a huge music history buff, and I'm so excited to announce my new podcast, The Monday Music Club. I teamed up to make this podcast with the Vox Media Podcast Network because ever since I was a kid, I loved hearing and reading stories about classic artists, recording sessions, and music history. And I wanted to have a place to be able to take what I've learned and share some of those favorites with you. Every Monday, I'll be releasing a new episode and deep diving into a new story with experts and special guests, and it's going to be a blast. So if you're a music history geek like me, or even just a casual music fan, jump in, because I promise the Monday Music Club is going to be the podcast for you.
Country is a much broader genre than we might think. I mean, frankly, every example we've heard in the course of this episode points to that. So many of these songs, when you start to think of them in this way and listen to them as a blank canvas rather than a country iconic track, you go, huh, country has always been pretty expansive, hasn't it? Hmm. And yeah, Dolly is like the poster child for that.
Well, let's see if we can challenge this idea even further on I Can't Love You Anymore. Ella Langley is singing with Morgan Wallen, who also has one of those top five songs. Been By Now is the song. It is his follow-up to his huge album, I'm the Problem. He is planning the release of his fifth album, and so this is the first single off of that. It is Been By Now. If it was meant to be, we'd have been by now. We wouldn't have to keep trying to work things out. Yeah, baby, we're a breeze when the lights go down. It wouldn't be so hard when we ain't in the dark. If we were in the stars, they'd align right.
This is wild. I mean, it feels like we are on the far borders of country at this point.
It feels more like Coldplay with a twang.
Oh my God, I was going to say the same thing. It is so Coldplay coded, this track.
We have references to being out in the stars. Coldplay loves being out in the universe. We've got synth pads, sequences.
Yeah.
The drums feel like they are super tightly quantized, almost sequenced drums, very ambient guitars. There just happens to be some vocal twang.
That twang is doing a lot of heavy lifting here.
I get why it's in the top five. It's got a very catchy melody.
Indeed.
It's very smooth. I mean, this is clearly a crossover song that is going to play on Adult Contemporary. It's not just a country track by any means. It's got twang, but it really shows that, you know, country music plays everywhere and does sort of bleed into other genres. Amongst the country songs that have broken this record, there is a return to country. Taylor Swift has a song, I Knew It, I Knew You, for Toy Story 5.
Yeah.
And it has been codified a country song. I remember I loved you. Came back when it mattered, I saw you. Standing there in the light of the window, wearing that same smile.
Man, it's been a while, but I knew it, I knew you. Taylor, of course, debuted as a country artist, and then gradually over her career, to much controversy and consternation, sort of abandoned her country roots to move into a more mainstream pop direction. So the fact that this latest song for the Toy Story franchise is being categorized as country is kind of an interesting step in her career arc.
Is it simply that the character Woody from Toy Story happens to be a cowboy? maybe there is a little bit of country in here. There is a banjo, but primarily we're hearing the sound of Bleachers. This is another collaboration with Jack Antonoff, his band Bleachers, and many of the musicians from that band are here. So we're getting sax and harmonica mixed with that banjo. It's a very different kind of country sound, if you will. There's other references here as well that I'm not sure if it supports country. The very introduction of the song. A lot of people have noted that it sounds quite a lot like Squeeze's Tempted.
Wait, play it again, the Taylor. Yeah, country-esque.
I heard one more nostalgic reference, Sweet Jane, in the Taylor Swift track. I loved you, came back when it mattered, I saw you, standing there in the light of the window, wearing that same smile. Man, it's been a while, but I knew it, I knew you. Sweet Jane, I knew it, I knew you. I remembered I loved you. What have you done, Charlie?
If you take
Sweet Jane by the Velvet Underground, and you stem remove the vocals and you put Taylor Swift's on top, you have a very similar kind of vibe. At the end there, the song actually switched to back to the production of I Knew It, I Knew You, but with the synth solo of the ending of Sweet Jane, which kind of mimics the horn stabs and the harmonica stabs in the Taylor Swift song.
I love hearing that because not only does it work so well together, but it really highlights the lack of twang in Taylor's performance, you know? This is not our song era Taylor. This is like 2026 Taylor, and there's no twang to be found.
But there are other Taylor references, arguably.
Tell me more.
If Taylor is going to make musical citations outside of her world, of course she's going to also do so internal to her own enormous catalog.
The blame is on me, 'cause I knew you were trouble when you walked in. So shame on me now, blew me to places.
Taylor was recently talking about this song. She brought it to Max Martin and Shellback as a burning slow ballad, and they were like, what if it were dubstep? I think that there is just a tiny lyrical nod. I knew you were trouble. A lyrical refrain that she also uses in the song Cardigan.
I knew you, dancing in your Levi's, drunk under a streetlight. I knew you, hand under my sweatshirt, baby, kiss it better.
So when we hear I knew it, I knew you, we're hearing the larger Taylor universe. And even though some of these references might be towards other throwback Americana, perhaps what we're getting is an Easter egg of what's to come. Is Taylor going to return with a full-on country force?
That'd be quite an era. We'll see.
All right, I've got one more track for you, Nate. And this is a country song, according to Billboard, about the city of Boston by the artist Stella Lefty.
On a train back to Boston, and we're jumping the cut, and I'm telling you, baby, this is the part where I'd run, but I like it when you're nice, like it when you're nice to me.
Well, in terms of the countryness of it all, I mean, I do hear some subtle pedal steel guitar in the background. I do hear some country style pronunciation, call it the diphthong effect. One of the hallmarks of the Southern twang is you diphthong vowels, that is, like, sing between two vowels. I hear that especially when she sings.
But I like it when you're nice, like it when you're nice to me.
There's elements here for sure.
Yeah.
Though Boston is probably not the first city you'd associate with country lore. We're far from the Abilene's and Amarillo's of our Choosing Texas world.
All right, I want to come back to the countryness of Boston in a minute. But first, there has been a lot of other discourse about this song. Many commenters have talked about the privilege that Stella Lefty comes from.
Yes.
Her father is a billionaire of the Groupon fortune. There's been questions about, you know, can you write a country song if you've grown up in Chicago and you're writing a song about Boston? Does that make sense? The song was written about a date with her boyfriend. She first posted it as a demo to TikTok and it blew up. It got a lot of positive reception. Before she even released it, though, she had someone reach out and say, this sounds familiar. We're from Noah Kahan's team. This sounds a little bit like Stick Season by Noah Kahan.
Her Vermont finished the season of the sticks, and I saw your mom. She forgot that I existed, and it's half my fault. But I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas, and I'll...
Noah Kahan is a named songwriter on Stella Lefty's song. They gave credit before releasing it to the public. And I'm curious, you know, you do some forensic musicology work.
Yeah.
How similar you actually think these songs truly are? I've maybe to help you out, mashed them up.
On a train back to Boston, and we're jumping the cut, and I'm telling you, baby, this is the part where I'd run, but I like it when you're nice, like it when you're nice to me.
So that's Stella Lefty singing against the music of Stick Season. Here's Noah Kahan singing to the music of Boston.
Her mom pitched the season of the sticks, and I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed, and it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas, and I'll...
And here they are singing together. I had to put them in the same key.
On a train back to Boston, they were jumping the sticks, and I'll tell you, baby, this is part of Christmas. But I like it when you're nice, but I just like it when you're nice to me.
Alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas.
That's really cool hearing them back to back. I mean, kind of more discrepancy than you might initially anticipate when you hear them like that. They don't align perhaps quite as much as I'd thought.
Yeah.
And yet from a forensic musicology perspective, if we transcribed these and put all the notes on, a musical staff, I think we'd see that there's a lot of overlap, a lot of moments where we see the exact same melodies. Not only that, it's like the same overall structure of these phrases, the way they're broken down into smaller measures and how each of those repeats in the kind of same way as the other. So, yeah, it's not maybe as much of a slam dunk in terms of the similarity as many on the internet would like to claim.
Yeah.
But it's enough, and especially in this age, our post-blurred lines age of increased copyright litigation, that you don't want to get caught out,
right?
You know, without just extending an olive branch to someone like Noah Kahan, I think.
So here we have Noah Kahan getting a songwriting credit on Stella Lefty's song. Noah Kahan, I think of as the Prince of New England. Right now, if you want to see Noah Kahan at Fenway, good luck. Everybody else in New England is trying to catch Noah Kahan. He is singing about all of the trials and tribulations of growing up in New England, and people really have connected with it. I hadn't thought of him so much as a country artist, as more of like a indie folk, maybe Americana.
Right.
Probably where I would even place Stella Lefty's music, if not for the pedal steel and that twang. And yet, I was trying to think, like, is there a way that we could assess whether or not New England and country music belong together? I was able to find a geolocating website that can look up all of the radio stations in your zip code. And it turns out in my zip code in Brooklyn, no country radio stations. In Back Bay, Boston, there are two country radio stations that you can pick up. In my hometown of Maine, you can pick up three country radio stations. And if you go to Burlington, Vermont, you can pick up six country stations, more than any other genre.
Well, that's surprising and revealing. It's almost like country isn't a state. It's a state of mind.
Oh, yeah.
See what I did there? That could be a country lyric, couldn't it?
That is a good country lyric.
Thank you.
Despite the inherent issues of inclusion in the genre that have plagued it for years, I think it's a very large tent. Like, you know, country draws from Mexican guitars and cowboy hats, West African banjos, Ukrainian embroidered suits. It's not surprising that all of these number one country songs that Stella Langley is competing with have been songs about who is included in country.
Yeah.
You know, Shaboozy's Bar Song, Lil Nas X's Old Town Road have raised those questions. A lot of ways, I think that the fact that country music is so popular just shows that it really is the people's music. And for so many people, the work of Dolly Parton brought them there.
Yeah.
She's someone who talked about rural poverty and equity in the workforce and complex human relationships in the 3,000 plus songs that she published in her life. So I'm really saddened by her loss, but also really delighted in going through the work of contemporary country music and still seeing how it is such a broader tent. Maybe the view that Dolly Parton brought to the genre, not the more stereotypical narrowness. It's not just twang, trucks,
whiskey, dirt roads, blue jeans.
It's all of us.